Welcome to Bi Plus, podcasting for the Bi Plus universe. I'm Elizabeth Meacham, here with my co-host, Mick Collins. Today, we welcome Lois Shearing of the Bisexual Survivors Network. Hi, Lois. Could you introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My name is Lois Shearing. My pronouns are they, she, and I am a bi activist, author, journalist, generally loud mouth bisexual, and I founded and run the Bi Survivors Network.
Very cool. So what is the Bisexual Survivors Network?
Yeah, so we are, as far as I know, we are the only support network specifically for bi plus survivors in the UK. Possibly the only one in Europe, but again, I don't know. I don't speak all the European languages.
Yeah.
So that's a big claim for me to make. But we're definitely the only one in the UK. And we offer support chats for bi survivors. So kind of in this context, I'm using like bi plus. So we support anyone on like the M spec, the multi-gender attracted spectrum. So pan people, queer people, bi people, anyone attracted to more than one gender, who have experienced intimate partner violence or sexual violence. And we're currently kind of broadening our understanding of that kind of violence further to start to include ideas around kind of queer platonic violence so that we're better supporting ace and aero bisexual people who may have experienced violence. So yeah, basically we support all bi people who've experienced some kind of trauma within sexual or romantic relationships.
Okay. Are you only in the UK?
That's a difficult question because so we run our groups via Telegram, which is a secure messaging app. It's a lot like WhatsApp, but it's a little bit more encrypted.
Okay.
And it also means that at the end of the chat sessions, when the moderator ends the chat, we delete it and it removes any trace of the chat from everyone's phones.
Oh, okay.
So no one will see that you've been in these chats. You know, for a lot of survivors, perhaps if they're still living in abusive situations,
mm-hmm.
I have someone who's going through their phone and we don't want to have any trace of that left on their phone for them. So that's why we use Telegram. But because it's a digital chat, anyone can join.
Oh.
So while we do run the chats at 7 p.m. UK time, we've had people from Australia join, we've had Americans join, we've had people from all over Europe join. So while we are UK-based, people from all over the world have attended our sessions.
Yeah, I actually think you might be the only one anywhere. I don't know of any other specific bi survivors networks. If anybody is out there and they know of one, please let us know about it.
I know there used to be a Bi Survivors Tumblr account, which I was not involved with at the time, that provided resources to Bi Survivors, but I don't think that runs anymore. And I think that may have been the only other one that existed. There might be some American ones. I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. I've not talked about them.
How long have you guys been around? When did you start?
Yes, I think we've been around for 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
So I set up BSN when I was 22 and I just turned 27. So I think that means you've been around for 5 years. Quick maths.
Wow.
Yeah. So over that time, we've kind of evolved from, it was just me running it for the first couple of months. Now we have like a team of volunteers that are all involved. We're actually looking for more volunteers. If anyone listening would like to get involved, we're looking for people to help us moderate, people to help with social media, people to bring on new ideas.
Can they be from anywhere or only people in the UK?
Yeah, from anywhere would be great. I mean, it'd be great to have people helping us with like our socials. And if people can, you know, commit to doing 7 p.m. UK time, then that's awesome. Yeah, so it's peer-to-peer run. So all of the team are identify as kind of under the bi umbrella and are survivors. So kind of, we think that makes it obviously you can never create a fully safe space, but we think that makes it a safer space that everyone moderating kind of knows what everyone in the group is going through or has some kind of experience with what everyone's going through. So that creates a much safer environment. Just because for a lot of people, myself included, when we've tried to access any kind of survivor support, they just don't know anything about bisexuality or the bisexual experience. Even like the LGBT ones have,
you know,
really huge gaps in their knowledge and understanding. So for me personally, I think it makes a really big difference for all of us to be bi survivors, like facilitating the group.
Yeah, even therapists I've found, they say they do, but they do not get it. So
yeah.
I can imagine.
It's always, an easier kind of base level to someone that's part of that experience, part of that community. It's easier to relate and less of a learning curve, even for that other person to try and figure it out. That way you can just kind of hit the ground running and actually do what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Well said. Yeah. Hey, you started this when you were 22.
Which looking back now is, well, like I was a baby. What was I doing?
that's impressive. And
that's very cool.
How did you get this started by yourself?
Yeah. So I was trying to find survivor support resources that took my bisexuality into account, just because, give me a second, I'm trying to word this properly.
That's fine. Yeah.
I would say that my bisexuality played a role in the kind of sexual violence that I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wanted to, and I think that's not uncommon for a lot of survivors, having kind of done the research and spoken to a lot of us. And so when I was trying to find support that kind of took that holistic approach and took that into account, I just was not finding it. And so someone who I knew was running a support network for men who'd experienced sexual violence. He's a very cool non-binary trans person and was running this kind of like trans and non-binary inclusive support resource for male survivors. And so I just kind of asked them, like, hey, I think I want to do what you're doing, but for bi people, like, would you help me get set up? So they kind of gave me some instructions of like, you need to have a manifesto, you need to know who you're running this for, you need to like create all these things. And I was literally ill in bed with a fever, like I couldn't get out of bed.
Oh no.
Wow.
So I was just on my laptop, like creating a Google Drive, creating a website, creating a manifesto, setting up all of the like socials. So it was all kind of born within like a week where I had a really bad flu, basically.
Oh, wow. Wow. And it turned out well. So yeah, there's that.
It's going.
Either way, when you have a fever. So was it always Telegram? Because I didn't know about Telegram till like 6 months ago. How did you set this up?
Again, so Telegram was what that person suggested at the time.
Oh, I think I didn't realize it's been around this long.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I mean, something that I will say, like the reason you know it's very secure is that I know ISIS use it for a lot of their dark socials. My other thing is that I research extremism and create a lot of content around that. But so it's very secure, basically, which can be a bad thing in that case, but can also be a good thing in our situation where we want full privacy. You can be fully anonymous, and we wipe any trace of the conversation. We're trying to figure out maybe some. Eventually, it'd be great to get our own servers, but I'm
not
terrible, so.
Yeah. How many people do you get generally in your meetings?
It really varies. So recently we've kind of usage has gone down quite a lot from people, which I would like to say is maybe a good thing.
Yeah.
Less people maybe need our support, or maybe it's because we're not putting ourselves out there as much. I'm not sure. We're figuring that out at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of ranges. Like I think the most we generally get in sessions is maybe like 10 people. Often we have like 2 or 3 or 4. And we'll have people who will join, every other session, join maybe like every couple of months, people who come every time. It really depends. And we're very kind of, when you need us, we're there. When you don't, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very relaxed.
Drop in when you need us.
Exactly. Yeah. We try to run more around the holidays.
Good idea.
Like, yeah, Christmas can be a really difficult time for people, especially if like they're going back to see family or they're going back to hometowns or whatever. So often we'll try and run more regular chats around the holidays as well for people. And they tend to be a little bit more, like we get higher usage around the holidays as well.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Definitely the stress there.
Yeah, it brings up feelings for people.
It does, yeah. So what are the special challenges that bi plus people face when it comes to violence and abuse, intimate partner violence or sexual abuse or anything like that?
Yeah, so bi people, particularly bi women, face the highest rates of sexual violence, so higher than gay and straight people. Trans bisexual women in particular face incredibly high rates of sexual violence, as well as bi women of colour. In general, the statistic from the UK is something like 61% of bi women have experienced sexual violence.
Wow.
And then there's some data from the US that aggregated data kind of like from America and Europe that suggests something like 75% of bi women have experienced sexual violence.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's very, very high. And it's similar for, I should know the statistics for bi men off my head, but it's something about like 50% of bi men, I think between 45 and 50% of bi men have experienced sexual violence, whereas for gay and straight men, that's more around like 20%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for women, straight women, it's, or in general, I think the population as a whole in the US, it's 20 to 30. Depending on what you're looking at. So 75 is a heck of a lot more. Just for a subset. So that's insane. Wow.
Yeah, it's very, very high. But simultaneously, bi people also are more likely to report negative experiences when seeking out support. Wow. I think just because of the things that we've just discussed, like bi erasure means that a lot of like support that exists doesn't take bi experiences into account. So a lot of like the mainstream organizations are very focused on intimate partner violence between men and women, and are maybe not so great around LGBT things in general. And then some of the LGBT focused survivor support is more focused on kind of same sex or same gender violence, and doesn't take into account so much kind of, yeah, the different gender dynamics that bisexual people may have experienced.
Yeah.
So I think that bi erasure is one of the really big issues around kind of why it's so hard for survivors to find support. And the other thing is just biphobia.
Like, yes. They simply don't believe you when you say it, or they don't think it's important or relevant. And I've gotten the eye roll, like when I've been in therapy, just like, you know, and I'm like, I noticed that. They don't think I noticed that. And then they, you know, so.
Just even among progressive people or people who consider themselves progressive, I've seen kind of idea that like bi women in particular, like hypersexual and are always down for it and asking for it. And
yeah,
well, how could she be insulted when bi women always want it, is kind of something that a fair few bi survivors that I've spoken to have, you know, said that they've encountered. I think those are some of the key challenges.
It's just all the assumptions when you say you're bisexual means, oh, you're sleeping with more than one person.
Yeah.
You know, that's polyamory. That's a different thing than just bisexual. Yeah. And that's fine for those who do it. But I remember being in the therapist's office and I'd seen her about 3 times at least. And then she finally asked me, so your husband's okay with you having your girlfriend? Well, I don't have a girlfriend. I happen to be monogamous, but
yeah,
that's not what that means anyway. It's not about your quantity of lovers. It's about, you know, how you feel, how your attraction works. But
and I think so conversion therapy is a big topic here in the UK right now, because I don't know if you've seen, but our government has been promising to ban it. They U-turned saying that they wouldn't ban it, and then they U-turned again and said they would ban it, but not for trans people, basically. So in the UK, it's still legal to try and convince someone that they're not trans.
Yeah.
But a type of what I would call conversion therapy that I know a lot of bi people experience, especially bi survivors, is, and I mean, I've experienced as well, is therapists saying, well, if you've been raped or assaulted by a man, then, you know, just date women. Or if you've been raped and assaulted by a woman, then just date men. Or you think you're attracted to all genders because you no longer want to date this gender because of your experience with sexual violence, so you've convinced yourself you're bi. Like, that is something that I've heard from several survivors. Wow. Which I would personally consider, you know, a type of conversion therapy. But again, these issues are just so invisible. Like, nobody knows this is happening.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Mick, but in America, things are so upside down. Just all over the place. I've always thought of the UK as something is more, you know, progressive and understanding of bisexuality. I just assumed it was so much more progressive, and everybody who goes over there and comes back acts like it is. So
I think it's hard of America because, and I hope I don't offend you here, but you guys have such the hardcore fundamentalist streak running through your politics.
That's not offensive. That's a uniquely American thing that we're, unfortunately, it's, we just have so much of that here. And now they're taking planes to Africa and making messes there for queer people there. So we know.
It's a mess.
Not offending at all.
It's an absolute mess.
Whereas, I don't think we have that in our politics so much, but we have the kind of the Tory cruelty.
And that's Tories, a political party, right?
Tories are the Conservatives,
Okay.
Who power for, oh my God, must be 12, nearly 15 years now. So Britain is currently facing like the worst austerity crisis since like the Thatcher years. I don't need to tell you guys as Americans, but when people's belts start getting tight and the economic crisis hits, people start looking for scapegoats. And in the UK, it's been kind of immigrants, Muslims, trans people, and now it's extended to all queers. So things have been getting worse here very steadily. I'm laughing because I'm nervous about it, but I think some stats came out in the pandemic. We have a very cool group here called LGBT Switchboard, which is a hotline for people who've experienced like queerphobia, especially like street harassment. And they released some statistics about how much reports they were getting of hate crimes has gone up. And during the pandemic, the amount of calls they were receiving for bisexual people increased 450%.
Holy crap.
Yeah. A huge jump in the kind of violence that people were experiencing.
That's incredible.
That's kind of crazy. So now, obviously, you're doing a lot online with the network. Do you do any in-person events at all?
Yeah, so we don't run in-person support groups or anything like that, but I do tabling, or I was. I mean, the pandemic has obviously put everything on hold. So I was going to like prides and like bi pride here in the UK and kind of pride parades and stuff. And then I was also using BSN as a kind of organizing banner to organize some like demos and get togethers and stuff. I do a lot of organizing with Libby Baxter Williams from Biscuit.
Nice.
Biscuit and BSN work together a lot. We're currently organizing a bi community picnic because we are boycotting Pride in London. Boycotting, I quite like that word.
Nice, I like that.
We are boycotting Pride in London. And so we're running Biscuit and BSN, and the Bi Index is running a community picnic together in London. If more volunteers want to come on and do in-person events, that'd be awesome. Previously, we've had some volunteers do talks, go to conferences and stuff, table at different events. So while we don't run in-person support groups, we do in-person advocacy and kind of awareness raising and stuff like that.
I think it's important to have both, you know, that online support, especially like through, you know, the chat, but it's good to have that idea that there's actually a physical person out there, and it helps grow a bigger community.
Exactly. It's a great way of reaching people, like, especially at Pride events, that's where, you know, you can find a lot of Pride people. So it's good to be there and just like passing out our flyers.
It's, it's important, definitely. I think it's harder for survivors to deal with any sexual part of themselves sometimes, but bisexuality or to come out, it's like another thing to deal with. So when you have fun events, you know, that kind of highlight the fun of being, it's fun to be bisexual, you know, but no,
but
the good parts of, you know, celebrating being bisexual, it's very helpful for those who are struggling with other issues. So
often, because it's necessary, like by activists, by organizers are focusing on issues like survivor issues or, you know, lack of resources, or of course, like bi people experience really dire rates of like mental health disparities.
Yeah.
So of course, we're talking about that a lot. But that can make it sound like it just sucks to be bi, and it doesn't. Like being bi is, I say, is like one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten. It's awesome. It's like a brilliant part of myself. And so, yeah, it's important to like remember that and connect through like community and shared fun experiences as much as there is to like organize around all of the scary bad things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of scary bad things. Now back to the scary bad things though.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask you before we move on here. Especially for survivors, you wonder if everything about you is because of the abuse or assault. And people do say, a lot of the therapists especially, where you used to be really bad about it here for everybody, but bisexuals in particular, about, well, you're only that because of this. And I was asking about that somewhere, and it's not that, it's the other way around. It's a lot of people, since bisexuality is, you become a target. It's these people sense something that's different. You know, they sense difference, and things, especially regarding sexuality, can be something that's a burden for a younger person, because they don't know how to deal with it. And it's they're opportunistic. These people who do this are opportunistic. It has nothing to do with us being abused. That's not why we're the way we are. It's, we were probably abused because we were targets. So anything you'd like to say about that, or do I have that right? Or
yeah, I mean, that really resonates with me. And I think particularly when we look at kind of, like some of the issues the bi community is facing in terms of like bi people are more likely to have mental health issues, bi people are more likely to be addicts, bi people are more likely to live in poverty. And, you know, like mental health issues, addiction and poverty are three huge risk factors, or like high risk factors for assault. And so if, you know, you have more bi people focused in those risk areas, and of course more bi people are going to be experiencing abuse and assault. And also I think like bi people are often very isolated. You know, we are not part of like the mainstream straight community because there's so much homophobia there still.
Yeah.
And we're often excluded from the LGBT community. And so when you kind of don't have either of these two spaces to be safe, it does make you more vulnerable. It does leave you open to kind of, abuse and having nowhere else to turn to. And also so the study I was talking about earlier, the one from America that suggested something like 75% of bi women have experienced sexual violence, sort of started drawing the conclusion that most of that violence took part in what they called like, what was the word they used, like intersexuality relationships. So it was more likely to happen if the partner wasn't bisexual.
A lot of that comes from abusers exploiting the fact that you're bisexual to custody. You know, you're going to lose your kids. If you leave me, I'm going to take the kids. You're bisexual, and I'm going to use that in court.
I mean, there's also studies that show that, and again, the study was only about bi women, so there needs to be a bit more research done, but showed that of the bi women who'd experienced intimate partner violence, it was more likely to start after they'd come out to their partner.
Yeah.
Like, so definitely,
oh, now I can use it. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's like people who use it for blackmail. It could even be things like your partner starts to feel more, and obviously this is not your fault, but starts to feel more jealous and possessive because suddenly now they're competing with everyone, as the saying goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't trust you around your friends, as the saying goes, or they start to feel like, oh, you're bisexual. That means you're more sexually exotic. You're more open to these things. And
that's a problem with your partner. That's definitely not a problem with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm, once again, a normal person would not think those things.
Yeah.
To become jealous over something like that. That jealousy is not jealousy is not cute, and it's not adorable. And it's
fetishization that bi people experience is definitely like one of the biggest,
as
I would say, in these very, very high rates of sexual violence.
Oh, it's just, and it's biphobic, honestly.
Absolutely.
These people are biphobic people that probably shouldn't be involved with. It's hard when you've been married so many years or with a partner for so many years and you come out to them and then it starts happening. But if you're just dating somebody, that's a bad sign. Just run now.
Yeah, it'll be a walk away moment.
Yeah, if you can.
When I'm dating now, early on dates, I will mention like a crush on someone of a different gender to the person I'm on a date with and then gauge their reaction. If I'm on a date with like a guy, I'll talk about like maybe a female celebrity or like vice versa, just to be like, how do you react to this? How do you feel about this?
Yeah.
Let me just test the waters a little bit.
I got to the point where if I you know, I knew I wasn't going to be with somebody long-term if I couldn't mention that, you know, hey, I'm bisexual to them or anything, you know, any of those private moments that those discussions you should have right up front. If I couldn't have them with that person, or if I didn't feel safe having them, to me, that was kind of a sign of, not the one. So,
And I'd like to think it's hopefully getting easier for younger people, for like Gen Z, just because, I mean, if you see the studies in the news and stuff, Gen Z is like the queerest generation ever.
Yeah, everybody's bisexual in London. That's what it says. Yeah. With Gen Z, it's like everybody's bisexual. They've outnumbered the heterosexuals. Like, well, yeah.
So hopefully it's getting easier to kind of date and not have to worry about that and weed that out, because, well, hopefully more people are coming out as queer, and we can, hopefully it's getting easier. Otherwise, we were just discussing, obviously, statistics from the pandemic were not very encouraging.
Oh, no.
No.
The pandemic's made us all weird.
Yeah. You know? It's exposed things that maybe should have been exposed and heightened things that maybe shouldn't have been heightened. So
Yeah. And we're all having to come out of our little gopher holes and, you know, now and we're all a little bit touched, as they say in Texas. Yeah, a bit touched. But yeah, and then, like you said, a lot of things were exposed that should have been exposed. And then, now we got to come out and deal with that. So anyway, so let's go back and talk about participation. Who all can participate in your activities?
Yeah, so we are a gender inclusive service. So men, women, non-binary people, open to all genders. We are a trans inclusive organization. We have several people who fall under the trans umbrella as part of our organizing team. And we're open to anyone who uses bisexual, pansexual, queer, multigender attracted, anyone under that umbrella, whether that's your whole identity or just part of your identity, then yeah, our service is open to you. So we have, you know, people who've attended who are bi and asexual, people who have attended, you know, bi and trans people, bi and cis people, lots and lots of different service users. We're open to the whole bi plus community, basically.
Okay. Do you do any partner support or teaching ally? If you're a spouse or a partner of somebody who has been abused in the past, a bisexual person, do you deal with that, or you just keep it straight towards the survivors right now?
It's for directly for survivors at the moment. Okay. We have some resources that are both like print and we make available on our website, which are just like general kind of bi resources.
Okay.
We're currently working on one at the moment about how to like spot biphobic intimate partner violence, which is like a lot of what we were just talking about. Yeah. So I think that'd be a good resource. But at the moment, no, we don't have anything for bi people whose partners have experienced sexual violence.
Or even straight people or gay people whose partners.
Yeah. So that might be useful, actually. You know, that might be a very good resource for us to put together for if your partner is bi and a survivor, here's how you can support them.
Yeah.
Great idea. I'm going to file that away.
All right. I know there's some, you know, for just standard therapists will hand out, but there's not a lot even for just, you know, going in as a survivor without discussing your sexuality for spouses and partners. There's only, you know, a couple of resources anyway. So that's a good thing to develop. I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
On our website, we have a resources section where it's very short at the moment. So please, anyone else who's listening, submit your resources to us. But it's basically resources that have been verified by other bisexual people as actually being useful and inclusive to bisexual people. Okay. As we mentioned, you know, sometimes you go to access a service that is considers itself to be bi-inclusive, and then you get there and it's really, really not.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you maybe go to, you know, a social event and you're like, oh, this maybe doesn't care about bi people as much as I thought, and you just have a kind of lame night and go home. Yeah. Not so good if you're trying to access survivor support and you don't know anything about bisexuality.
Definitely check your resources before suggesting resources.
Yeah. So on our website, we have a little list of verified resources. I think we've got like a couple of other survivor groups and networks and some things like that that have been verified to us as definitely bi-inclusive that survivors can kind of reach out to if they need to.
Mention your website.
Yeah, so our website is just bisurvivorsnetwork.org. We have a Twitter, which is at Network Bi. We're on Facebook at the Bi Survivors Network. I think we have an email, which is bi.survivorsnetwork@gmail.com. So you can reach out to us there. You can find us on the LGBT Consortium website, lots of different places that you can find us.
We'll list those on our website too.
And we also, have a wish list, which is Amazon. I know obviously the ethics of Amazon, but it's safe. And currently the only way that we could do this is via Amazon. When we find another way, we will. But it's basically, if you are a bi survivor, you can fill out a form that's on our website, including the links of things that you want or need, and then your address. And then one of the team uploads it to the wish list. And then of course, scrubs your data from our files. And then allies, if there are any allies listening, can buy those things off the wish list and they will be sent directly to the person who's requested them. Because this is something they don't tell you very often, but being a survivor is expensive. whether you've had to flee your home, and you need, you know, homeware, bedding, things like that, whether you need mental health things, you know, like coloring books, books to read, supports, resources like that, whether you need things for children, or whether you're just a bi survivor and you think this thing would make me feel a bit better, I want this thing. We don't ask questions about what you want to add.
I like that you let the allies submit too, because sometimes you can't get something shipped to your house without a lot of questions. And there's a lot of people who can't get out of situations that are stuck. And that's really nice that their friend can do it for them, and their friend can be it over, bring it over. And it's just a gift from the friend, not, or the family member, not the, just some random thing from Amazon. Very thoughtful.
Yeah, and it's just a material way that, because I think we mentioned this earlier, but like the bi community receives the least amount of funding for what we do. BSN runs just on donations. So it's just a very direct material way that we can get goods into bi survivors' hands, basically. Yeah, that's on our website if you need it as well.
We have the least amount of funding. The least, big goose egg zero here. But yeah. And good for the other communities, especially trans community, because I know that they've done a really good job at getting that going. And they need it. But we get nothing. So
yeah. So kind of on that note, what do you guys need? How can people help? You mentioned, you know, volunteers and stuff, but donations and any other way that people can actually help the organization?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, volunteers would be amazing. You can contact us directly through like our email, our Twitter, our Facebook, or you can contact me directly if you want to ask about volunteering. If you want to buy something off the survivors wish list, I think it's currently empty, but hopefully after people listening to this podcast, we'll get some more submissions. You can donate to us. We have a PayPal, which is on our website as well. You could follow us on social media, would be amazing. Boost our posts. So especially on Twitter, we post about when the next chats are coming up. So that's great. And also, yeah, the way I often end kind of these summations of how you can help bi survivors is challenging biphobia in general. To like speak up when you hear people making fetishizing jokes or dismissing bisexual people's experiences, because that has a ripple effect and it goes on to, you know, really impact like the much more marginalized among us in our community. So challenging biphobia, I have a personal challenge to the partners of every bisexual person. If you are not bisexual and you're dating a bi person, I am personally challenging you to make sure you step in and kind of try and counter biphobia whenever you can and it's safe for you to do so, because it's much safer for you to do it than for your partner to do it, basically.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Especially if it's happening in front of you and not your partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Anything else that you'd like to put out there before we sign off?
No, I think that's it. Thank you so much for having me and for letting me come and talk about survivors issues. I know it's a little bit of a heavier topic, but
definitely something that needs to be talked about, and it's definitely a good resource to have out there.
Thank you again, Lois. And Lois Shearing is the founder of Bisexual Survivors Network. Thanks also to Mick Collins, as always, my co-host. I'm Elizabeth Meacham. Remember, there is a whole bi plus universe ready to embrace you. Reach out and find your community. Thank you.